want to thank the association. For allowing me this opportunity. To be able to convey to you why we're Baptist. And to convey about that old-timey salvation that we believe in. And that we're one of those churches that Jesus built on the foundation of repentance and remission of sins. Amen. I'd like to begin reading in the book of Luke. I might mention, because this is a doctrine of ours, I've got in big letters in my Bible, the gospel according to St. Luke, they got that part right. We have a denomination in regarding sainthood that was developed by man. But the Apostle Paul, when he addressed the churches, he addressed the bishops or pastors, the deacons, and the saints.
That's right.
Our practice of saints is biblical. Their practice of saints is unbiblical and was developed by man. I'm not a historian. You can go and read the history, how all that sainthood and different rituals, etc. You know, but that's one of the doctrines that I've had to fight against in Jamaica. And I want to begin, this is a fascinating subject, if you want to call it that. And it's Luke's writing. I like Luke's writings because he goes very in-depth. Like a physician would, he goes very in-depth in his revelation of God's Word, knowing the anatomy of the body. He could convey Christ's teaching about hell and the pains and the torment, you see. And that's another doctrine that we hold to be true, that all unbelievers will go to hell if they do not obey the Holy Spirit and seek the Lord. I need your prayers. This half foot creates a lot of balance issues for me. And so I certainly asked your prayers that we can be able to convey the message that we desire to do. Beginning in the first chapter of 1 Luke. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration. I love that word, declaration. Every one of us preachers, that's what we ought to be declaring from this pulpit, the foundation of the Lord's church. Amen. And how it began and with whom it began. Now, there's all kinds of ideals about the first church. But I promise you, in the epistles of John, there's a man there that John is writing, and there's a man in that church that's got so big-headed that Diotrephes wanted the preeminence over the church. And there come the hierarchy, the inspiration for the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. And we know us pastors are unprofitable servants. We don't rule over the church. The church, if there's any ruling, rules over us. For example, when the church ordains us, we carry the name of that church wherever we go. The doctrine of that church wherever we go. And we're not to go out there like a Christian bully, you see, but we're to go out there, I'll get it here in a second. We're to go harmless as doves, wise as serpents. And that takes a lot of wearing out your blue jeans on your knees praying unto the Lord that he would give you. There's times, and the other missionaries, even pastors know what I'm talking about. It comes with the territory. You pray and beg God. You study and rightly divide the word of truth. But you beg the Lord to help you to deliver the message, the declaration to a lost and dying world. And he says, of those things which are most surely believed among us. I'm not a scholar. I'd give anything in the world if I could go back and apply myself to study far better than I did. But there are times that the scriptures just jump out at you. This one is the title of the message that I have, and that is, which are most surely believed among us. If that ought to be a declaration today in the world that we live in, we ought to, I preach it from the mountaintop so that the message of Christ can go out unto a lost and dying world. I had Anglicans on this side, Pentecost up above me, Campbellites, the Seventh-day Adventists, the fastest growing church in the Caribbean. I was surrounded by them all, you see, and so I learned, and I did the very best I could to declare the whole counsel of God and establish that little church on a foundation. To give you an example, when I first went there, they hardly never did bow on their knees to pray. They were just speaking gibberish. And they would was accustomed to someone like we used to play in Brother Simon and Sister Simon, May I? You'd take 10 steps. And they had their leadership of raise your hands and praise the Lord. And I said, let's study that and let's see if that's what they did on the day of Pentecost. First of all, did they listen to some man or did they listen to the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit tells you to raise your hands, then by all means raise them and say, praise the Lord. But if he doesn't, then don't listen to him.
That's right.
I was invited to a Pentecostal church one Sunday night to preach. And before they called me up to preach, why, they had also invited a lady preacher. I'm not into that. The Bible doesn't teach that. A woman's never been called to preach. And if you'll study the Bible enough, you'll find out that a woman is never called to preach. But nevertheless, she come in there with that, "Praise the Lord, church," and everybody'd raise their hands and mimic what she said, except for the congregation that I hauled in the back of my truck. Not a one of them raised their hand. That taught me something, and the Lord opened that up for me to see that they were taking the teaching. They were waiting for that spirit. And the Lord blessed me. It made the woman mad. She tried four times, got mad at my congregation because they would not obey her words to raise the hands. These are some of the things that I had to deal with. Doctrine. Remember, Christ told the Pharisees, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, for a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." The doctrine of the Pharisees, what was it? The exact same thing we're seeing today, where they're praising themselves and where that they're praising God with their mouth and their lips, and their heart is far from God. What happened in those days? Christ set this church up in such a miraculous way that in every generation, this church would have the exact same modern day Pharisees trying to hinder them and change the plan of salvation. I'm thankful that God saved my soul and that I know that I've passed from death unto life. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, I've done a little history on that man that popped out of the Bible unto me, trying to figure out who he was. And you ain't going to find it in history, because very few people can figure out who Theophilus was. But I can say this, according to the scripture, he was most excellent. Luke looked upon him. Apparently, whether he was a dignitary or whatever. Now, the same thing happened to me in Jamaica. As we were trying to establish the first missionary Baptist church in the West Indies, the same thing happened. There were all kinds of religions around us. And after Christ established his church in the day of Pentecost, there were other religions around him, idolatry. All of that was around. Now, here Luke is inspired to write this book and relate the truth. Evidently, some was passing it around, but it wasn't the truth. We find that in the 15th chapter of Acts. Yes. when the Judaizers, believers, believing Jews that required that the Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved. Now, isn't that what a lot of churches put, you see, various things on someone that was saved? Like in Jamaica, they build up baptism over there. Well, you know where they got that idea, don't you? Because of the Catholic and Anglican influence. And so all the denominations build up baptism. So where the missionary Baptist, like John the Baptist, required fruits meet for repentance. That's a testimony. The Pharisees didn't have it. They were sold on themselves because they were the children of Abraham. You see, we still got that going on today. You see, and we have to declare the whole doctrine, you see. Now, I better hurry. And now I want to go over to the Acts of Apostles, if you'll bear with me a minute. Now, we're talking about Baptist doctrine. We believe the church was founded with 11 disciples and Jesus Christ as the only head and lawgiver. Now, that's a doctrine. Our lawgiver doesn't sit on his hiney in the Vatican. That ain't our lawgiver. That ain't our high priest. Hebrew letter will tell you that, that Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that we go to for the cleansing of our sins, the absolution thereof. You see, for this world today. In Acts of Apostles, here he's writing Theophilus again. The former trespass have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, Luke starts out pointing out to Theophilus that about the birth of John the Baptist, fulfilling the prophets of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Baptists preach and teach, that John the Baptist was the Elias which was to come to make ready a people for the Lord. How did he make them ready? Repentance and faith. Inseparable graces of God. And that's what our articles of faith declare. Luke then tells him of the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, and I believe it was Samson, that were born of elderly parents. Miraculously, the wombs were opened by God. Now that tells me they must have been special children that God wanted them to learn from old parents that were old in life, you see. And you may not see it that way, but that's how I see it, that God was using these elderly parents because they could instill in those children the ways of God perfectly. And I'm So he then goes in to tell the life of Christ and his experiences all the way through. I don't have time to go through this. Now he starts out with John the Baptist, Christ the Savior, the head and only lawgiver, the King of Kings, the Son of God. He wrote this to Theophilus. You can say I'm crazy, go ahead. But I believe when Theophilus got this letter from Luke, God preached it to him, put the Holy Spirit in it. Now, for whatever position that he had as most excellent, I guarantee you it furthered the gospel and it helped the church, whatever position he had, for God to inspire Luke to write these two books. Now, when we've got John the Baptist and Jesus and the disciples and the establishing of the church, then he gets into the Acts and he tells them some of the early acts of the true church. It's evident to me that he wanted this Theophilus to know about John the Baptist, Christ, the disciples, the foundation of the church, the day of Pentecost, when they added to that church. Amen. And throughout some of the experiences that they went through in the Acts of Apostles. And believe it or not, I experienced some of those things over the years in Jamaica that I had to be able to stand and fight against. And all I had to do, I didn't have to debate nobody. All I had to do was do what Peter did, or St. Luke did, and that was to declare what's most surely believed among us, you see. And if we'll preach the truth, we'll find that there'll be some of those that will embrace what we embraced. You see, we have no control over the Holy Spirit.
No.
Now that's something else that we believe in as Baptists. We believe in repentance and remission of sins. And we believe that a sinner must bow. You want to call it a mourner's bench? That's all right with me. But I guarantee you there's been a lot more. And I'm speaking a little bit. You might correct me, but I bet there's been a lot more mourner's benches on this side, on that side, back side. I remember back home, the old sisters, you see, would get in the spirit and they'd go to a lost person they were aware of, and they'd shake their hand and they'd plead with them to come to the altar and seek the Lord. But beware of your emotions.
Amen.
Because you can go and stay there too long.
Amen.
And you'll drive them away. We want the Holy Spirit to draw them.
Amen. That's right.
And so that old sister, one of them boys told his boyfriends, and I don't mean it in the pronoun way they do today, but that I'm going out to the outhouse if she comes toward me in an altar call again. And he did exactly as she come down the aisle. And out to the outhouse he went. And you know what that old sister done? She went out to our house, pounding on the door, encouraging that young man to seek the Lord. And they said that door flew open and the shouting going on all the way back to the church where that young man got saved. Now move that way if the Spirit leads you.
Right.
Do not do that because your emotions or your love for them that you want to plead with them without leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've seen that error in our churches. But we don't practice that. We let the Holy Spirit, see, when we preach the gospel, then the Holy Spirit carries it into the heart of that sinner like it did me. And I went to church girl watching. Can you imagine that? And I had no idea what I was getting into when I went into that little old country Missionary Baptist Church, and them old two preachers preached hell so hot that when they had the altar call, I stood up and turned around to see if seat of my britches was on fire, because I could smell the scent of smoke. And I ran to that mourner's bench, and I cried out from the depth of my soul. And the Lord saved me. Give me a peace that passes all understanding. That's what I took with me to Jamaica. That's doctrine. That's Baptist doctrine. I happen to preach a little more than maybe some thought that I preached. But I preached to the Jamaicans that Jesus went to a Baptist preacher. The scriptures prove it. John the Baptist. But the adversary's got it all wrong. John wasn't a Baptist because he baptized, but John was a Baptist because of his message. Amen. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And then, like most preachers, he gladly baptized them when they brought fruit to meet for repentance.
Right.
I apologize. My suspenders broke on me this morning. So if my britches come down a little, please, my wife's why she's sitting over there, so in case they do, she'll come running and pull them up for me. But I want to continue with this, because I love to be a Baptist. I grew up under the Church of God of Prophecy. My grandfather was a Church of God Prophecy preacher. My grandmother was a widow of a minister for 50 years. She used to sing me songs like Jesus Loves Me and all of the little Sunday school songs. And I'm sure we got grandmas here. There's something special that God instilled in grandmas. There's a love that radiates from a grandmother to a grandchild. And it's the same in church. And grandma said, "Now, Richard, there's going to come a day when the preacher's going to preach, and your little old heart's going to break. Your eyes will be opened, and you'll realize that you're a sinner." She said, "Promise Grandma Jones that you'll go to the altar." I was 15, three-quarter years old, and kept that promise to Grandma. And her favorite song was "I'll Fly Away." You sung that today. And that's Baptist doctrine, not Church of God Prophecy doctrine, but Baptist doctrine. To encourage your children to seek the Lord. When that spirit moves inside your soul, then you need to seek the Lord. Steal away somewhere and call upon his name. And he said that it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. In order. I like that too. That ain't just for the business meeting as Paul described, let everything be done decently and in order. He wasn't preparing that for a business meeting. He was preparing everything that the church is required to do under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Let it be done decently and in order. You see, we don't educate enough the in-depthness of these Holy Scriptures. I love to hear a man that has been schooled, that's got a genuine calling into the ministry. And I love to hear him having some speech and good English, etc., etc. I think that that can open up the Holy Scriptures. But I'm also thankful that an ignorant little boy like me that failed to apply himself, that God can take and use me to point some sinner to the Lamb of God. The most important thing, whether you have an education or not, is what you got in here. That's the best education you can have. You see, it's right here inside. And so I'm not one of them so countrified preachers that the moment I see someone that's decked out in a suit, that I immediately assume why they surely can't preach a lick in the road where the way they're dressed. But I tell you what, my uncle the deacon and pastor, my cousin, they taught me by example to wear the best you got, look the best you can. Now, the same way with you sisters, as my wife does spend, I'm glad God didn't make me a female. I've never had a desire to be one. But she'll do that hair and purdy herself up. But you let her get in the spirit and shout all over the church house, all of that stuff comes off, you see, and she don't even worry about it. We shouldn't worry about what we look when the Spirit comes. We ought to worry about it to dress appropriately. You see, God clothed Adam and Eve completely. And women today don't dress modestly. Don't get mad at me, sister. But women today, in the church, I can see it out in public, but in the church, they don't dress modestly. Men don't dress modestly. My grandchildren get mad at me because I don't like to see a T-shirt with some kind of image on it in my grandchildren going to church. I want them to look nice, like Grandma. We were dirty. Grandma washed us in an old wash tub back then. And when we got through, Grandma was an inspector. And she'd take a wash rag and dig down in our ears like she was digging for potatoes. She wanted us to be clean and look nice. And I thought, Grandma, there ain't no sisters I've ever seen look in some boy's ears and look for dirt. But to Grandma, she wanted it just in case there was a sister that had it in her mind to do such a thing. She wasn't going to find dirt in my ears. That's just like salvation. You can try to clean yourself up on the outside, but until you get cleaned up on the inside by the blood of Jesus Christ, where you can feel to be clean. Amen. Back then, little boys going to church were dressed in black and white shirt and had a little black top hat. top of you. And that's how she dressed us to church. And she sent us out to my two aunts that lived next door. And she wanted us boys, to see how, wanted her daughters to see how pretty us boys was. Well, what do you think about Christ? I'll tell you what, we're pretty in the eyes of the Lord, and he wants the Lord to know it. I'm not talking about wearing your Christianity on a lapel. I'm talking about wearing it on the inside.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, here we have Luke and Acts where that Luke conveyed, and I don't have time to convey all the doctrine that they went through. They ain't no preacher that I know of, even in history books, that ever got to appear before the magistrates and the nobility that the Apostle Paul did. And each one that he appeared, including King Agrippa, what's the first thing he done? Did he preach to them? The first thing he done was tell them how he got saved.
That's it.
And then he preached Jesus unto him, and that Jesus was the reason that he was saved.
Yes.
You see, that's doctrine. When that we can share our experience and then tell the world that Jesus did all of that, you see. And that's why the favorite verse of mine in the Psalms, that I went across Jamaica, because every time I asked them for a test, oh, I've been baptized, Pastor. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I asked you, do you know the Lord? Well, that's why I love this verse in the Psalms. Ye that fear God, I hope you all do. I hope you all do. In the Proverbs, that's one of the first things you learn, to fear God.
Yes.
Ye that fear God, let me, the psalmist said, let me tell you what the Lord hath done for my soul. I like to be in church and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. A lot of these modern churches don't allow testimony meetings because it'll disturb the service. That's what one lady told me about her church. Oh, we can't stand up and testify publicly because the pastor says we'll stir up the service. Well, it sounds like to me they need their services stirred up. They need an old-fashioned testimony meeting, you see, to convey. Now, in the 28th chapter, we have what's called the Baptist Commission. And I guess it is, but in the last verses of the 28th chapter, this is what I did in Jamaica. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what I preached to the Jamaicans. But not until we completed the end of this instruction. But I preached to them. For the apostle, or the apostle Paul in the Roman letter, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I preached to them to be reminded of the power that you felt that convicted you, and then the power that revealed Christ unto you. So it takes the power of God. You see, that moves man completely out of it. I don't care who they are. I don't care what new plan they develop. You see, that takes them out of it. He said, go ye therefore. Now, he's telling this to the 11 disciples. But the message, their responsibility was to share it with the church, just like we are today. So it didn't cease at the dying of the apostles. Their responsibility was to carry whatsoever Jesus taught unto them to the church. And it's a perpetual thing, you see, even in our generation. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I fulfilled that instruction. I did not baptize in Jesus' name alone. We have some that baptize in Jesus' name because they have the view that the church began at Pentecost and that they were to, because of the instruction given about being baptized in Jesus' name. They weren't talking about baptism in water. They were talking about baptism in the Holy Ghost. When you get saved. And if they want to go a little further, I'll tell them, I speak with a new tongue. Every one of us did. You see, when the Spirit moved me to tell my testimony,
yes,
I spoke in a new tongue.
Amen.
You see. And it was a tongue that everybody could rejoice and hear when I gave my testimony. So, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever, I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you all the way, even until the end of the world. I found that to be true in Jamaica the last 27 years. That I had to walk with just me and Jesus. And it was lonesome. I was the only Caucasian, the only white pastor of a black church. And I had to keep my flesh under control. I had to humble myself and beg God and ask him, let me see lost souls. Don't let me see color. I want to be colorblind so that I can preach to your creation.
Amen.
That they might become a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
And I don't have a clue what color it is, but I do have a promise of getting a glorified body fashioned according to his will. You see, and I'm looking forward to it. And so it says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Baptists baptize that using that instruction. Now, it doesn't mean baptizing them in the name of Allah, in the name of the various names in the Old Testament that they call God. It doesn't mean baptizing in the name of Yeshua, Christ, and the Holy Ghost was given the name by Christ, a comforter. What he means is in honoring the Godhead body, the Trinity, in the name of the Father, our Heavenly Father. Don't call no man Father on earth. And his Son, honoring them, and the Holy Ghost, All three present at Christ's baptism.
Yes.
The Godhead bodily. And that's what we do. When we baptize, we honor the Godhead bodily, the Creator and the carpenter that built His church.
Yes.
That's what we honor when we baptize. Now, I like Luke's version, and I want to get there, and then I want to quit so I don't get accused of making you late for lunch. Then opened he, now I love this. You can get all the books in the world, biblical. But I'm going to tell you, till this happens, you've never had an experience of rightly dividing the word of truth. 45th verse in the Gospel of Luke, 24th chapter. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. You preachers know what I'm talking about. When you can get in a deep study of the Holy Scriptures, and then the Holy Presence of God comes, your hair does a standing ovation. You get goosebumps all over you when you're sitting there studying, and you have to be careful not to wet the pages. Praising God for revealing His word unto us. I'd encourage a young preacher, before you even think about looking into a commentary, you get enough knowledge of God's word first.
Amen.
So that you'll be able to point out those that are in error. And know not to embrace that teaching. He says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what the message was on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't salvation, but repentance and remission of sins. And if you do that, you will be immersed in the Holy Ghost. The night I got saved, I'm telling you, it was an unspeakable joy. And it was full of glory. And then when I brought fruits, meat for repentance,
yes,
they took me down and baptized me in water. I baptized the biblical way. I was questioned back home about what I baptized in. I said I did her the same way old John that Baptist preacher did. I baptized in water. Outside of the Jordan River. I baptized in the Caribbean Sea, in the Atlantic Ocean, and all 100 plus into the Hector's River. Wherever there was water, like Philip, he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch of the same, near of the same color as I baptized in Jamaica. And he baptized him in water, a little oasis that he found. And I did in the baptism, the water came out of the mountain. And as I stood there, you see, it had built a little pool. None of them knew how old. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, Pastor, is that sufficient?
Right.
I said, yes, sir, that's sufficient. I buried him, and I ain't a bit ashamed. He come out of there shouting. Nearly jumped out of the pool of water. So, brothers and sisters, we're talking doctrine now. You see, baptized in water. And I could go on and on after baptism. And you become a member. We believe in, I don't like to call it communion. I'm an old country boy, I guess. I like to call it the Lord's Supper because that's Amen. What it is. It was taken from the Passover Supper, but this was the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
That he presented to the church. To do as oft as you do it in remembrance of me.
Amen.
And so, and you have to be a born again, baptized member of you see, to participate in the Lord's Supper.
Right.
And I'm a little different than some. I like to see that a hymn is sung and everybody leave the premises with nothing but the Lord's Supper impressed upon their mind.
Yes.
Until the next service, so that it can all week impress upon them what Jesus suffered and
yes.
did for us, and that he rose again, you see. But there are much more doctrine that I could get into, and there are far better brethren here that can probably present it better than I. But brothers and sisters, whether we're learned or unlearned, as long as we have the Holy Spirit, I've had to self-teach myself. I've had my wife help me with English and things, but the Spirit always helps me to make the declaration of the old time salvation that passed from death unto life. That's my simple little message to you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this privilege that you've given me, and may God richly bless you. Please accept my apology. As soon as the service is over, my wife and I have to make a run to Alabama. I've got 4 associations that have been good to me, and I don't want to leave any out. So please accept. It's not that we, you sisters, serve a wonderful table, because I've been here and know that to be a fact. But we can only do so much. And I don't travel like I used to. And so please accept our apologies. And I appreciate your moderator, yes. Brother Ray, and for what he said about my wife. We're 51 years. 51. Came to your church one night to preach at Crossroads. And there I somehow brought it out in the pulpit that at that time it was about 45, wasn't it? And when we had our 45th anniversary, I had 4 of the grandchildren, I believe, that were just little ones. And I said, I told them, I kissed her 45 times and had those kids count them. Well, when they come around to give the handshake, there was a real old man. I'm sure Brother Ray knows him, but I can't think of his name. He come around and he told me, he said, Brother Rick, said, I've been married 72 years. But I ain't going to kiss my wife that many times. Thank you very much.